This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
How serious are countries going to be in keeping the Earth's temperature down? I'm David Brancaccio. Here's how it works at the UN Climate Summit in Scotland. First, there's a draft agreement, then 3 days of haggling. The draft is now out, urging countries to get even tougher to, quote, revisit and strengthen what they do to cut carbon emissions that are altering the planet. This includes pushing governments to stop subsidizing fossil fuel, especially coal. Roger Harabin, with our news partner at the BBC, is covering the conference.
The document clearly accepts that governments are not doing enough to limit emissions, and that every fraction of a degree increase in global temperature makes things even worse. To that end, the paper proposes that nations over the coming year should ratchet up their emissions-cutting targets in what they accept is this crucial decade. It says ministers should gather again in a year to review progress, and it calls for another World Leaders Summit in 2023. Vulnerable countries should be given much more cash, it says. The paper also proposes that burning of coal should be phased out and that subsidies for all fossil fuels should be ended. There's no firm timetable on this, but it is the first time fossil fuels have been specifically targeted, and some governments will be sure to push back.
Roger Harabin is with the BBC. Stock in an electric truck and van maker called Rivian is set to start trading on the NASDAQ market this morning. Rivian has big backers, including Amazon. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has that.
Rivian isn't making a profit and actually lost more than $900 million in the first 6 months of this year, but you'd never know it looking at the stock price. The company went public at $78 per share, making it worth more than $76 billion. Rivian says it'll launch 3 new electric models by the end of this year, including a delivery van that was built and designed for Amazon. Amazon has already ordered 100,000 of the vans and holds an approximately 20% stake in Rivian. Other interested investors include the investment firms T. Rowe Price and Franklin Templeton. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
In most European countries, electric vehicles are better than gas in the fight against climate change. Most, but not all. A new study finds that in some countries, including Poland and tiny Kosovo, electricity production is so carbon dioxide intensive that the gas cars are still better. As countries move away from coal, more electric is the better climate choice. In nuclear and hydropowered Switzerland, the carbon savings of an electric car is 100%. Checking the stock market, Dow and S&P futures are each down 0.2%. Now the NASDAQ future is down 0.5%. It's another day to keep a close eye on Evergrande, the vast real estate company in China that's deeply in debt, and today it's not clear if it can pay $148 million of what it owes. Now, Chinese authorities try to make the case that an Evergrande collapse would not have system-wide effects in China's financial system, but independent experts aren't so sure. Markets are all about deciding what something is worth. Well, today's teachable moment is from the art world. An art collective in Brooklyn, New York says it's selling a big bunch of fake Warhol drawings. But here's the thing, mixed into that pile of 1,000, you don't know which one is a real Warhol drawing. Buyers will never know if the one they got was touched by the hand of Andy Warhol. And does that matter? We connect from time to time with art critic Blake Gopnik, author of the Warhol biography from last year. Welcome.
Thanks a lot. It's always a pleasure, David.
Help me understand this. So this group got a hold of a real Warhol and they figured out to make like super good copies?
They claim they bought this $20,000 Andy Warhol drawing. They say it's from 1954, but they're probably wrong. I found out it's probably from 1958. It's a picture of a bunch of fairies playing skip rope. And then they had a robot arm copy it 999 times, or that's what they claim they did. Then they distressed all of those copies so they looked exactly like the original. They shuffled those 999 copies and the one original into one big pile, and they claim they don't even know, you know, which is the original now and which are the copies. And then they sold all 1,000 for $250 each. And now they're sold out, actually, or so, again, they claim.
And, you know, we don't have Andy Warhol around to ask his opinion to this, but he might not be, having read your biography of the man, he might not be totally offended.
No, a lot of his art, once he started making pop art, a lot of the art is about, you know, reproducing things, about making silk screens that, you know, can be made at least similarly again and again. Kind of funny thing is that in order to make their piece, this collective from Brooklyn, it's called Mischief, but they actually had to use an early Warhol when he was still a hand maker of art objects, because that's what they needed in order to make their project mean anything. If they'd used one of his late silk screens, right, it already is something that's about mass production, so it wouldn't work.
And you love thinking about this, right, Blake? This whole idea of, is it worth more or less if somehow it's a copy or a digital representation?
Mischief says that their piece is very much about the fact that the art world, that collectors care more about having a work that's really just a commodity that's in limited supply than they do about the aesthetics. I think their piece actually reinforces the idea that authenticity matters. After all, it's built on the idea that this one drawing is an original and that they make copies of it. If they had chosen, you know, the label from a jam jar and copied that 999 times, their project wouldn't have meant anything at all.
Blake Gopnik is an art critic, regular contributor to the New York Times. He also posts a daily pic on social media, or you could browse over there at blakegopnik.com. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, David.
And I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.